You're listening to the Wondrous Podcast, episode 11. She has an elegant and refined flair, and when you start talking to her, you feel like you've encountered an old, experienced soul. Elena Zhung, a fashion brand strategist and makeup specialist from Russia, can thank Romania for turning her world upside down through adventure, love, and family. And yet, there is one thing that has been constant throughout her entire life up until today: her deep appreciation of beauty. Romania has contributed to her transformational journey, bringing Elena closer to understanding and fully embracing the essence of beauty, which starts from our inside and flows to our outside. In this episode, Elena gets to share her musings on why critical thinking is so important, especially nowadays, the role spirituality has played in her life and how that is connected to meeting her husband, her personal take on the concept of beautology, and much more. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this free-flow conversation with Elena. Hello, Elena.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing unusually well, I can say. We are isolated as everybody, unfortunately, or fortunately, but it's like really unique time. I feel it, as all my friends feel it as well, of course.
I wanted to ask you, how are you doing with the quarantine? How are you guys coping? Because it's the first time this is happening and you are not back home in Russia. So how are you taking in the whole experience?
I think we are very lucky that we have our house, our little garden. Now the trees is blooming and this gives you this feeling of nature, really. I don't know how people doing it with it, like four kids in two-bedroom apartment or something. I really feel it's a tough time. Now it's a lot of information and where this virus came from, how long it will last. But generally speaking, it really doesn't matter where it came from. It's like lesson for all of us. It's like, you know, like in Russia, we have this expression, maybe you also have it, you know, when you put kid with a face to the wall when he's punished, and then you have to stand there long sometimes, and then you have to go back and just understand what was wrong and act differently. And I feel like this time is exactly that. Like, we are for a reason standing now with a face to the wall. We cannot go and do stuff which we got used to. And like, even a week ago, I felt like, never mind. Like, just let's keep positive and just let's go back as soon as possible to our normal life, to shopping, to visiting friends and everything. And then one night I just had this strange feeling, like I woke up, I don't know how to say it, like vibrational feeling that it is for reason. We not allowed just go back and do the same things. Because I remember when I was a kid, I used to look at the things a little bit differently. And sometimes for me, this life was seems to be like a kind of illusion. Like I was looking at the TV, all this violence at the movies, even in some cartoons I can see it, all this stuff. Like we are busy, like we were renovating house with my husband and every day we were choosing some stuff for decoration. And I was asking him from time to time, like, it's strange. Like I feel like, I don't know, God or something sent us to this planet, not for that. We kind of busy, occupied with all this, going with friends out for pleasure, doing stuff for pleasure. But there's no meaning in it. Something is wrong. And now I feel that now it's going to be fixed. I don't know how to explain it. It's quite strange, I guess.
It's more like a catalyzer, like a moment in time in which indeed we need to pause and we don't have access to the same lifestyle, or at least most of us don't have access to the same lifestyle that we used to have.
Da-da, and everything for the reason. Nothing happening just for happening, for the case of happening. And it's like lessons. We are separated not only like with each other physically. I feel this separation in the views, and it's like a lesson for us. We face to face with our loved ones, and I heard that it's some divorce more people feel like they don't want to live with each other anymore because it's hard. It's a lesson of acceptance, other people's opinion. It's very often husband and wife having different view on the things. Somebody in panic, somebody is very positive or just positive. And this conflict is acceptance, and this part of our ego like goes hand with hand because when we want to prove something to somebody, it's like we want to be right, and our ego is big, and it's so many inner lessons and conflicts now happening in the families, in our own souls. You go to sleep with one thought, you wake up completely with different thoughts in your head. It's like speed up transformation. That
yeah, it is a transformational moment, that is for sure. How is it going with your family, with your husband? Are you the example that you just gave, that you are the happy-go-lucky person and he is more the panicked one? Or how is it going with you guys?
It was a little bit, but now I feel like we're completely in the same boat. It feels very good. And it feels like we really, because I have a mass media background, so I see how the things usually put on media. So I didn't really, from my young age, from university, didn't have much trust in what's happening. And whatever happening, like, it's so many negative news pouring down on our heads. Like, they don't say how many people got better, they say how many people got worse and all this stuff. But we have a choice. Like, doesn't matter, even if you're stuck in one room, you always have a choice how you can feel what you think. And we have to keep our filters now very high, not to let, like I was saying to my husband, he used to watch TV, like enjoying in the evening. And some stuff which was happening on TV, like, was making me sick in some ways, but I don't know how to say, not pleasant views. And I said, you don't let anybody, strangers, unpleasant people come to your house with dirty shoes and dance around, because it's your house. It's the same with your head. It's even more important property. So keep it safe, keep it positive as much as you can, because I know you and I know Yulia, which created a group of support. This is very rare and very good example that if you're watching news and you can do something with it, just do it. And you look at the things, you operate with them, you help people with what you gain. But most of the people, 99% of them, they just watch it and they feel bad and they watch it again and they feel worse. It doesn't help.
No, it does sound like quite an addictive drug. And me, myself, coming from a communications background, I also recognize the patterns and the story angles that people try to push so that the viewers can get more addicted to just being stuck to the TV the whole day. And indeed, I mean, for me and for Yulia, it was very interesting because we felt that with all of this information and everything that's happening, we indeed can do something positive, or at least do something useful. It is very interesting what you say, because, for example, one thing that I noticed in Romanian news at the beginning of the pandemic, so this being March or something like that, is that they were talking about people who were recovered. A thing that I did not see, for example, in Western media at all. Here in the Netherlands, for example, they only mentioned how many people, and they still mention only how many people are dying or how many people are going in the hospital, how many people are infected in general. But in Romania, I really appreciated that they did take the time to say, well, I don't know, we have 1,000 people that are infected, but then these many people are also cured. But that happens less now.
That is your example is fantastic example of being active. And I think despite of we sitting home, everybody, but now we have this internet connection and it's a lot of webinars. It's a lot of studying which happening. It's a lot of free study. You can visit museums. You can do so much stuff. And it's really time to do it. And it's time to, like, so many amazing people I met only by, you know, you watch the internet interview or something, you see the name, now you can find everybody on social media. So it's for each of us, it's a, I think, time when you can find your mission, what you want to do in your life. And according to the mission, you will see, you will be leaded by some, I don't know, inner power. You'll find amazing people. Don't be shy to contact these people, ask them questions, make friends with them, and move on forward when it's all over. Interesting point, it's event 200 and one, which I was mentioning once in a video, by watching it, it's you can see on YouTube, it was uploaded in November 4th. So it's like you cannot fake it, because everything what you read now was uploaded recently, months ago or something, it's very questionable. But this event 201, it's, you can see it was uploaded last year, that this pandemic was, it's actually, you're not even allowed to call it pandemic. They call it to sound even more scary, because pandemic, it's when it's 5% of population is kind of like these deadly cases. But we see much less statistics there, so it's not really legal to call it pandemic, really, but it sounds very scary then.
It sounds scary and important. I think that's what people are trying to go for there. But speaking about the purpose that people can find in their life, I want to turn the discussion to you, because you have a very, very fascinating background. You have an interesting experience that you bring, not only from the cultural perspective, since you were born and raised and thrived in Russia, but then you found the love and you found your path here in Romania, which I found very interesting in itself. And there's a lot to talk about you in terms of roles. So you are a businesswoman, a makeup artist, what I found as an organictarian, so a person who really enjoys this organic world and dives very deeply into it, a master in natural perfumes, you are a mom, you're a very supportive and loving wife. So I'm not sure, is there something that you don't do?
Like my husband say, you just don't put asphalt on the streets. The rest you do. No, it's a problem. It's actually a problem in this life that it's so many things you can do. And once you're starting to do them, the doors is just opening. And it's just like you're getting lost in it. And it's all very exciting. And it's all very connected. And it's all like you dive into it. And I found later on, some people are, a lot of people are like this, like where they read something on their earphones, they listen something else, and they just forever students. It's this type of people. Like my husband, he's completely opposite. He's so relaxed and calm, and he came to balance me, really.
Interesting. He's more the other side of the story.
Da, he is amazing. But we talk about him later.
Okay, so let's start talking about one of the most important aspects of your current life, which is your career in everything natural. Where did you get this passion for natural products, appreciating the natural world, what it has to give to us?
It comes from my grandfather, from my mom. Actually, my grandfather saying that we are relatives to Leon Tolstoy, which I found fantastically exciting when I found it out recently, because he was also very keen about natural stuff, Ayurveda even. You would never connect Leon Tolstoy with Ayurveda, but he was, and he is a very wise man. He had a lot of kids, legally and illegally, because he believed if you are happy person, you have to have a lot of kids as much as you can. His wife wasn't really agree with his views, as usually it's happening. So it started from family, of course. And from childhood, I remember just seeing connections and things. And it's just amazing when you look at the leaf of the tree, you can see the tree. And I believe that once you discover that everything is connected, you're having this key of life, you don't have, not you have still questions, but you have answers to a lot of your questions, and they really comes very natural. So it's like that came to me. And the idea that really I came from the family where my father from Asia, and every of our meals was like with meat. Like there was no way that we don't eat meat three times a day. So when first I got married and my husband said, oh, please, can you cook soups without meat? I was imagining like, oh my God, Asta, what? How can I do it delicious? And then I discovered that really, I was happy that God gave me this chance. I was working in the luxury world. I was using a lot of luxury cosmetics and non-luxury genetics, and I was comparing it, and I was, it's, you know, it's in our heads, before you go to the most expensive thing, like La Mer creme, for example, or something, you will always believe, no, this something else, it will work, but now I don't have, I cannot afford it, so I have to work harder to afford it. And then you just, it's like making a boom, and you understand that you can make a beautiful fragrance, which completely natural. When I see this advertising of, I don't even know the brand, you know, these sprays which automatically spray these chemicals into the room. Everybody have it either in toilet or in the living room. And it's like lying, really, like essential oils can give you such a, you can make your blends. You don't have to even study it. Well, it's better a little bit to know because there is some stuff you have to be careful about, but it's natural, it's healing, it's having a lot of side effects, like positive side effects.
Compared to just having some chemicals around.
Yeah, it's all, it's putting pressure on our immune system. And if you think about it, every second in our body, it's a lot of viruses, it's a lot of cancer cells constantly, like they're happening, they're inside of us. And if our body is busy with this additional pressure, which we put with the not clean food, not clean cosmetics, or this even fragrances, then our immune system have to deal with that. But we have to keep immune system as free as it can be to deal with something what's more important.
That is very true. But then I am very curious if this, so you got this passion from back home, from your family. Is this something that you also found in Romania?
Generally speaking, I think I found this happy feeling. I don't know how to explain it, but for me, Brasov, I remember my sister moved first to Brasov and I was like, what is this city? I forgot again, this name, like it's so uncommon. I was keep on forgetting it. And it's like this secret heaven, which you don't have access until you allowed. I don't know how to explain it, but it's heaven on earth. It's pure heaven on earth, because before I had the feeling subconsciously that I will not live in Russia, and I traveled a lot around Italy, Spain, I was living in Slovakia, and I was trying to find my home. And when I found Brasov, it was like, wow, this is something, like people having this idea that Romania is, it's about something else, but it's not. And I remember my husband was a little bit upset that I think some of my friends said, oh, you are in Romania. No, let's meet in another country. I don't want to go to Romania. It's nothing to do in Romania. And then I said to him, you know, it's good. Let's keep it safe. Let's keep it beautiful. It's place not for everybody. But this is like people used to thing, and I used to think as well, oh, it's much better to live in Paris, much better to live in London. I used to live in London as well. And it's not about this status, and it's a different money. And then you feel like you are donkey with this carrot, and you're running after things, you buy expensive clothes, you pay a lot for your place to stay, and then you miss your life. Here you can really stop and feel the life and feel the time, feel the nature, mountains. We're only missing some place to swim, but last year we even discovered place to swim. It's La Culece, which is 40 minutes drive from Brasov. It's such a special feeling. I remember we were at this lake with my husband. He was trying to prove me. I showed you this lake a few years ago. So I saw little houses behind, and I said, let's have a look what is there. But what I was seeing, I couldn't believe. It was like from my dream or from fairy tales. They were all looking the same, very cozy, very quiet, surrounded by these big trees, because there you're not allowed to cut any trees. You have to build houses in between trees. So some of the houses having these strange shapes, super cozy place. And it's interesting, you don't find any information about it online at all, which is also make it very special.
I do know that there are some places around Brasov, especially when you go up the mountain. So there's this cabin in Piatra Craiului, but I forgot the name, which is very interesting. It follows the same pattern. It's at one point in the mountain. And the thing that I really appreciated about it, I went on a hike at one point and I found it, is the fact that they have like this handwritten sign at the beginning, like put right above the entrance, in which they say like, yeah, we do not have a Wi-Fi connection. You can only call us if you want information from us we only serve natural food. So, and no, we're not going to change that or something like that. It was super funny because coming from a world where you're constantly on your phone and on the laptop and connected with everything. And then there's this place where people basically refuse that kind of lifestyle and they go more to the basics.
This is amazing. This is like a new fashion. And I love it that people garden now. It's luxury. No Wi-Fi. It's luxury. This everything becomes so natural and we really feel urge of it. We feel like, you know, like I'm 36 or 7 now. And I remember when I was little, my grandma was buying me a dress. We were wrapping it in this paper, which is this, you know, recycled paper. There was no scotch tape or anything. Everything was so like every bottle was from glass. And even in this 30, 40 years, the transformation in the world was amazing. And now these people, which is opening up their hearts, they feel stuff they want to discover about. You see this urge of we want to know astrology, numerology. We feel it's something more than just eating, going to toilet, sorry. But it's not about physical pleasure. It's not about physical activities. It's something more. And it's calling for our attention.
It's kind of like going back to magic in a way, rather than just being functional.
And I'm happy to see now how it's speeding up. I mean, it's not pleasant to see what's happening in the world at all, of course, and this energy of fear. But if you really ask, like we are, a lot of people, they're just in fear. But if you tell them, stop for the second. And it's such a good exercise when you just stop it for the second, you breathe deeply, and you just ask yourself, what is actually happening now with me? What is changed in this period of life in my world, in the world of my family? And I was laughing with my husband that I told him, you know, it's like I was counting 10 of my dreams came true during this few weeks of isolation. It's like my mother-in-law and my husband started to work from home, which I was always pushing them to do. My husband started to eat healthy because he eats at home. I can experiment with food and cook. I spend more time with my kid really playing because, you know, with our kids, we kind of, oh, look at something and I will be doing my stuff, you do your stuff. But now, like this idea, if you're tired of something, if you're annoyed of something, if you don't want to do something, just switch. Try to do it with pleasure. Try really get into it. So instead of throwing my kid toys and sitting on my phone reading something exciting, I really got together with him into this nasip, into pamint, into sand and the earth, and we dig and we play, and I try to put my phone away as much as I can. So when you ask yourself, what happened with me, what lesson I'm having now, you feel like, oh my God, God's only want good for me, but I put all this additional unnecessary pressure and I feel unhappy, but actually I should feel happy and use this time, because I don't know if we will have this time again. I mean, in some ways I can even say that maybe the longer it will last, I mean, the longer we see it, the longer, because some of us still need to catch up with something, to understand something, because if we now just go out and carry on, go shopping, then it might come back again, you know, it might come back a few times for us to pull us back again. We better to learn this lesson now and transform than to call for another experience.
No, I totally agree. And this sounds quite historical from some perspective, because we always have a choice. In all these moments of crises, whenever there's something happening, we always have a choice to learn from the past and to learn more about ourselves as people and as individuals. So I hope that's going to happen too.
And I remember I lived through, I think now 3 or 4 crises I've been through. And every time I was catching myself on the thought that, oh my God, I remember it was happening in 1997, I think, then in 2008, I remember these ones very clearly. And I remember people were shooting themselves and there was stuff going on. And I catched myself, my thoughts that actually I have nothing and I have nothing to lose. And it was like, wow, that's interesting that we are running after money. We're collecting it all. We forget about our families, our real values, our health. And then this is just all collapsing. And then the less you have, the less you lose. And maybe you don't need that much money to be happy, because literally you need food, good relationship, love. Or you know this movie, Eat, Pray, and Love?
Yes, yes. And the book as well.
I'm not a big fan of this, you know, American movies and comedies, honestly. But actually, these words are the key words for our life.
But is this also a lesson that you learn transitioning from your lifestyle in Russia, which you mentioned that it was mostly, you know, working for luxury brands and having all this kind of abundance and wealth at your hand versus coming to Romania and then switching to a more natural lifestyle and getting closer to who you are and who you want to be?
I think that it is like this. And I feel like it's really like a transformation during one life, I could say. Like now it's happening towards everybody. Like without, usually we transform in some ways. But like, I don't know, it's information for some people who believe in it. Like you have to die to transform into something else or somebody else or to grow. But now it's like, in my experience, I feel like God just gave me a chance to sit on a cloud in heaven and just put things which are important first and reevaluate everything. So I feel it's totally different, but it's so exciting. And I'm so happy that I'm still physically alive, but I can experience this different life. So it's like more than words I can say.
Maybe you can describe a little bit how your lifestyle was back in Russia versus the one that you have now in Romania.
That it was exactly how you explained, like, you just work to go to expensive restaurant, to buy expensive clothes, to, it was about, I don't know how to say, I was very excited to learn things. I remember when I was 12 years old, I found in, my father had a gift book of Dale Carnegie, and he left it in a toilet. So once I came across to it, today actually I spoke with my father and I remind him this story, and I discovered this psychology and things like how you can influence people, things, your life, everything. And by the age of 33, I think I was feeling like I learned it all. I can do it all. I can really do anything. And then I felt this empty feeling like something is still missing, like I cannot put it all together. Yes, it works. I was teaching others how to do it. But for myself, I was feeling like something is not right. And then I just realized that it's all, you know, on logic level. We have like our body, which we have to take care of with all these goodies. We have our mind, which we have to nourish with the goodies as well. And then we have a spirit. And I felt like something is missed in this field. I was baptized when I was 17, and my father is Muslim, my mom is Orthodox, and I felt like something is missing. And then I started this path, which led me, I think, to have this quantum jump, or how you call it, to the Brasov, to my real love and to my family.
And it's quite an adventurous and ballsy decision, might I add, because indeed you went from something that you were really good at, because you were very successful in what you did. You even put up your own makeup brand in Russia, which was booming, and you had the world at your feet, let's say, from that perspective. But then indeed you felt like something was missing and you accidentally found your husband as well.
That was after praying. I was praying a lot. I was, you know, like I was 33. I had some men going after me. I felt quite happy. And my grandmother used to say, go more, you have to find your husband, go do stuff. And I knew I was everywhere. I was on TV. I was going out. I was knowing a lot of people, but it just didn't work for some point. So I asked my friend once, like, what can I do? I want to get married so much. I'm so being so lonely for some point. You feel happy. And, you know, these days when you come back home alone for all these parties, you put your high heels away, wash away makeup, and sometimes you want to cry, but you don't have a shoulder. You feel so empty. You feel like all this for nothing. And you're starting to be afraid of the death, afraid to get old. And I think all this fear comes from when you don't have God in your heart, then you're afraid of the death. And I think this is part of which we have to learn in these difficult times. Like once you believe in that, you protect it, you really do protect it. If you will see that, then you just feel so relaxed. So I started to pray badly. And my friend told me, go there, go here, go to all these monk houses. And I just started to do that. And, you know, when I started to do that, everybody who I was in love with and all this, you know probably these stories when your ex-boyfriend is suddenly starting to come back to you and they're starting to pull you, like somebody you was in love with suddenly appearing again. And it was like a big test. And I was just praying. And I remember one of these days, I don't know, maybe it's too much to say, but I won't go deeper into details. But once I remember one day when I was saying to God, like, please, I cannot protect myself from doing mistakes. Please protect me. And I started to cry. And then my balcony was open and I felt this smell, you know, the church smell. And I was surprised, like, what is happening? And I went outside on the balcony and I've seen these people in the church clothes. I don't know how to say this when, you know, it's you take the cross and people go around. So this stuff was happening and they were holding this stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know these words. So all the smell was spreading and I ran out to join this crowd and I was crying and I felt like this was such a big message for me that God hear me and everything will be so good. But the story how I met my husband was interesting. First, I said to my sister that maybe it's a good idea to find somebody online, and I was pushing her to register online, and she was like, I don't believe in it. She was disappointed. She was at the website. She met somebody, got disappointed. She said, I'm deleting my profile. And I was saying, please, for me, give it 1 week, just 1 week. And in 1 week exact, you can delete it. She was like, okay, anyway, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. I'll do it. And in 1 week, she just disappeared. And I didn't know where she's going. She didn't say anything to anybody, but she met her husband from Brasov and she felt this is it. And she just packed her bags and went to see him. They went on some small tours on the mountains, photo tour. And then she moved. She got married. She got her baby here. And she started to tell me, now I want you to live with me in the same city. I was just like, this is too much. It's just not working like this. She wanted to make like, maybe you can just marry somebody, good friend, good person. I was like, I don't want to marry for marriage. I want to carry on looking and or waiting or hoping for my husband. And then 5 years after, I was in a long relationship with one man. And then I told him, I want to have a break. And then my sister was just begging. She was saying, please, can I put you? She was doing the same thing like I was doing with her. And I was saying, no, I don't want. Leave me alone. I just had a break from my relationship with a very nice person. But he wasn't created for marriage. He's still single, but he's very happy. I'm happy that he's happy. And I said no to my sister, but she said, I will do it for you. So she was looking and chatting from my name with different guys. And then she said, please go on one date. I found somebody. You have to see him. I was like, okay, just one date, only because you spent so much time. And he gave me a ring and 1 week and a half or two. And that was like, wow. And I actually said to my ex-boyfriend a few weeks before, like I said, if you're not marrying me now, I will marry first person who will come across and give me a ring. So we got married very quickly. I just got back to Russia, packed my stuff. I remember I woke up in Moscow. I was like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? It's not like I'm dating somebody. I'm getting married. I said yes in front of his parents. What is like, I was like, oh my God, I love stuff like this, but this is my life and this is not a joke. But something was telling me just, it's fine, just go with the flow. It's okay, it will be fine. So I did it and my ex-boyfriend was calling in a short while. He was saying like, I understood, I want to come to you, let's get married. And I was saying like, no, something has happened and we cannot, like, no, it's just no. He was like, are you pregnant? If you're pregnant, it's not a problem. If you are with somebody, it's not a problem. I said, I'm married and I'm not divorcing. He was just shocked. Wow, I think I'm just chatting and I think maybe it's too much, but it just goes out of...
Very honestly, I think people need a bit more adventure in their life.
This is really truth. And I have such examples, like my friends, which really believe in couch surfing and blah, blah, car. They travel all around the world with all these services. They never met anybody bad. They only met new friends, super connections, all these special people, which you just feel like, how did we found each other, you know?
Yeah, we also tried BlaBlaCar. Like for the first time last year, not this year, because this year we're a bit restricted in terms of travel. But last year we tried BlaBlaCar for the first time, and we can say that, yeah, we also met very interesting people. We met a Romanian guy who's living in Austria, for example, who became a good friend. And yeah, we ask each other, like, how are things there? And how are things here in the Netherlands? It's, of course, you need to be a bit vigilant about things because not everybody has good intentions. But I think it's also important to stay open.
You know, it's like about your inner state. And it's very interesting. I remember one yoga teacher came to our city, and one lady asked him a question like, what if, for example, you're walking on the street because they like monks and they don't kill even little bug? She was saying like, what if you go somewhere on the street and you see men beating up women? Would you involve into it? Would you try to stop it? Or how, like, what would be your answer? And he was saying, just, it's not going to happen to me. She was like, I'm just imagine. He's like, no, I don't want to imagine it. It's not going to happen to me. She was like, just imagine. He was like, no, it's not working like this. And then I understood the thing. Like, and I used to use it in my businesses. I know some people also do stuff like this. Like, I wasn't calculating. I wasn't really looking at how many creams I'm giving to the certain exhibition or certain shop. I was trusting. I knew, like, if they want to steal, they will steal. But it's like a test, and I really don't care. If I deserve, like, that somebody have to steal from me, he will steal from me. I don't know, it's kind of crazy, but I notice it's really working.
It's a personal belief, and I think that that's something that people should feel more into, like, where do you stand, what kind of life philosophy do you have. And on that point, I'm actually very interested in discussing a little bit about concepts, and a very specific one that you use for your makeup business and for your aromatherapy work. You actually put it on Facebook as well, on your Facebook page, and that's how I discovered it. It's called butology, and you use this word quite a lot in what you do. So what do you understand through this word, and how do you make it happen?
I think that through my life, I'm in beauty industry like almost 20 years now. I was 17 when I started to do makeup. I was one of the first makeup artists in my city. It just started to be, because before it was just, you know, this for cinemas dream. I don't know how to say in English, unfortunately. But then it turned into makeup. And then I was like, hundreds and thousands of people went through my hands, and I'm such a curious bug, and I was asking people things. Like, I was, if I'm with a bride, I was asking, how do you met and stuff. I was just collecting stories, and I realized we all looking for happiness, we all looking for beauty, but this is this holistic approach. Like, beauty, it's never about making face which is having makeup. It's about your inner stage. You cannot fight with your with your age, because fight is not an answer. It's holistic approach. That's why I combine these words, beauty and logic, this idea of that it's a science, it's complete, this is something to study, it's not something to apply, it's not something from outside, it's much deeper, much complex, it starts within you. So I had this idea, but now I'm also digging into the fashion. On this period of time, I felt like, you know, when I had my baby boy, usually your life is changing. You're getting in completely new direction. You kind of lift it up in some ways because you see things differently. And I realized there is no beautiful clothes for the moms and moms to be. So because I have this background, I was a stylist. I was working with the VIP persons in our area. And I used to love, you know, this fashion world. So I thought maybe I can experiment a little bit on this field, because it's about how we feel. Because when you have a baby, you don't feel like you have your time for yourself. But at the same time, when you have this hour per day, you want to feel good, you want to look good and be comfortable. So I'm kind of working on this concept. Let's see what's happened later.
Ah, very interesting. So you're going to expand the concept to a different area.
Duh, because it's also about clothes. It's really like this thing that sometimes some people, when they go to this knowledge, like they get the spiritual stuff, answers for the questions, and they forget that everything around us also matter. Like I was saying, like I was getting sick from just doing renovation or doing basic thing without meaning. Like it's about meaning. It's about complex. It's also when you're happy and you have good makeup, you naturally think like what I'm going to wear. And I'm so now keen about this circular economy, circular fashion, eco brands, because the topic, like I was promoting fashion brands, all this Gucci, Prada and stuff. And I remember I went on my Instagram and I was scrolling down to my very first posts. And it was actually saying something what I'm now against. I was saying like your clothes making the human, like what you wear is who you are and stuff like this, that you have to express yourself. And it's your mood. You can be like this, you can be like that. And now I feel like, no, actually, it's all about you, like this famous campaign now going on. It's all about you in the meaning that it's your face. And it was two very inspiring women in my life, which one of them, I remember she was busy mom of four, and she went to the restaurant and she said, I have nothing to wear. And then she just pulled her pyjama, Calvin Klein black pyjama, and put good makeup, and it just looked so good on her. I was looking, she said, is it okay if I go like this? How do you think? I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And another example, when very nice stylish lady I knew, she was hairdresser, stylist, I came to her. And she came to me, she was home, and she came to in this silk dress with a big V, big V at the back, I mean, open back. And I said, oh, you're going to paint my hair like this in this evening dress? She was like, no, it's secondhand dress. I did it a little bit. It's actually my home outfit. I was like, oh my God, because now you can put nice earrings and just go to the restaurant easily. So I decided I want to. It was like 10 years ago. And then I realized we all probably need this clothes now, which you can look like $1 million. But at the same time, it's like you don't have to change it, because I was living in this world when you buy dress for even, I don't know how many it is, like 5-10,000 euro. And then you was at one event, and then you cannot go anymore because you did some photo session. People seen you. You was in magazines in this outfit, and gata. The life of this dress is finished. The money, aruncat, money out. So it's a big thing for all of us. I want everybody just, because we think I want to look like I belong to certain society or like express myself through it. But actually your face is express yourself, your hair, how it's done. You know, in ancient Greece, they were wearing only this toga, you know. And this toga was very long fabric, which you have to really wrap around you. And it's a very complicated process. And some people, which is very wealthy, they were having special stylist slaves, which is wrapping it around them. And then you could see one toga is from somebody who is very, 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 how you wear it, how it's wrapped around you. So even if you have only this, just a piece of white fabric, people would just still with one tablecloth, they were trying to show that I belong to somebody else. But this is also something, it speak for us, that how careful with our clothes, how clean it is. Is it ironed? So I'm trying to find also fabric which maximum ecological, but no need to iron, because I hate ironing. I think it's a waste of time.
No, it's super interesting, because I'm also passionate about fashion. I'm very interested in how different styles have evolved, how you can make somebody look absolutely amazing. And to your point, I remember two people. One of them, I remember the name, the other one, I don't. One of them is Neagu Juvara, big historian in Romania. And he was mentioning the fact that, for example, the peasants in Romania back, so when he was living in Romania, he noticed that the people, even though, you know, they worked the whole day on the field, like 12, 14 hours, they really took care of themselves. Like their shirts were always this very pure white. They were always clean. They didn't have a lot of variety necessarily in their clothes, but they didn't need to. And they looked absolutely beautiful. And then he talked in an interview about the fact that, well, when he came back after communism fell, he was like, yeah, no, everything changed. And most importantly, people's faces changed. Like you can see that there was so much pain and trauma and mistrust that he really felt like he was in a different country than when he left in the, I think it was the 40s. And the second person is the one that I don't remember the name, but I think it was a she. And I think she is a fashion designer. And she said something like, very, very interesting that, you know, everybody wants to wear exactly like you said, in all the Gucci Pradas, Fenty's, whatever big brand names, because you feel like if you adhere to that brand, and there is a quality of branding, that you will take basically their values as well. You know, you will be classy, you will be elegant, you will be well known and respected. But then she was saying, but if you think about the fact that in our past, again, the women that were working in farms and these kind of things, so the peasant women, they had only what? A couple of ies, so the traditional Romanian blouse and the skirts and things that they made by themselves, which is also super meditative and it's a whole discussion on its own. But they just had that. And when you look at the photos, they look absolutely gorgeous. So they didn't have anything that, you know, that you would consider today, like all of these backless dresses and print and fur and whatever the hell. It's like you didn't have that, but you had a certain dignity. You had certain persona. When they snapped a photo of you, you were a scene. So I do agree with you on that. I do think that, and I hope that more people will learn about this holistic beauty that you also put in what you do with your makeup and with the natural perfumes as well. It's like, it's more about discovering what fits for you and getting closer to earth and our human nature in the end.
That it works like magic, really. I didn't even expect that it will work that way. I remember people starting to buy my natural cream and then they were saying, you know, now I'm analyze everything, like everything what I eat, everything what I wear. I started to reevaluate. And I remember as well, like, I was using different creams. Usually you can keep them on a shelf from 6 months to a few years. It's not a problem. And then when I started to make creams, first cream I made in the kitchen, of course, then I put it to the refrigerator, even having natural preservatives, you still feel like it's something made from plants and oils, and it just should be in the fridge, or it should be consumed longer. Or it's like also about biscuits, that if you cook something, you cannot keep it for a few months. But if you buy it from shop packed, it's written you can keep it up to 6 months, not a problem. And then it's like really when you see the process, when you're into the process, you start to question a lot of things. And I truly want to believe, and I believe it's my mission too in some ways. I remember when I've seen this Ellen MacArthur statistic, official statistic, that every second, not today, I guess, but every second in the world, one lorry with full of clothes going to the landfill, to the rubbish bins, every second. And it's like, oh my God, people just looking for happiness. They buy things and again and again and again, it makes them feel good. But maybe we should start with the within, from inside, and then you don't have to dig so much. And so many examples, like starting with Steve Jobs, all these black t-shirts which he was wearing, it doesn't make you being full or being poor or being silly or anything. It's like you can be still wealthy. And I think we have to all, the beautology thing, it's all about this. You have to be happy, beautiful, have a mission, and then you just can have very simple dress. And I had even an idea, maybe somebody will also feel like it's something interesting, that how we can make fashion last longer. First, of course, we have to realize it's all a game. We've been fooled with all this fashion industry, to buy more stuff, and more stuff becomes synthetic. Like if you look now, I remember this drama, like I don't like synthetic stuff. Like I don't like when in my socks it's some percentage of synthetic. And then with my husband, we went on a quest. We were looking for socks without synthetic. We couldn't find it. It was scary. Like natural stuff is just simply disappearing with the time. We won't find it anymore because so much of this, every second ending up landfills. So we can last it, we can make it last longer when we choose simple models, and when we make it locally, this clothes should not travel long distances. And all these high street brands like Gap and H&M and all these very big trusted brands, they ended up like, this fashion revolution movement and all this, how they discovered that even now this hashtag pay up is all around social media, because it's a lot of these brands, they made the order. People in these countries like Bangladesh, India, they made the clothes that they don't pay enough for their clothes. So it's a lot of abuse. It's a lot of dark sides in it. But most of all, we don't need that to be happy. Maybe it's better when we do it locally, when we involve these people which can make handmade embroidery on it, make it beautiful. And when you have this dress with embroidery, with some artistic decoration, you would keep it for longer. Because there is, somebody who made it, you appreciate it, and there is love, not the pain. Because I really believe, I remember it started with food for me, this understanding of process, because a lot of things it's also a very big topic to discuss, but if we don't know the process, we don't care and we don't mind. But it's in my family examples as well, like people who are working at the factories of Salam, I was working even at the salad factory, salad fields in England, and I was looking at the amount of chemicals there. I had a friend which was spraying everything with chemicals, and then they were putting this roll around the field, like do not cross the line because it's highly toxic. I couldn't eat it, like simply, and everybody who was in some industries, they couldn't eat it. But the idea is, which comes from Ayurveda, which I wanted to say, that everybody, like you plant, somebody plant the seed, somebody harvested, somebody cooked it, and I think you also could feel sometimes in restaurant you come, the dish is complicated, very bright, very expensive, but it have no taste. It's about the person who was cooking. If this person was unhappy or swearing, and I had experience in a restaurant as well through my life, like a waiter. It was my first job when I was 17. And I've seen people at the kitchens of the fancy restaurants, and that was scary sometimes. And I was like, I don't want to eat that. It's on a white plate. It's super silver. Spoons around can be, but it's like, I don't want to eat this food because this waiter is, cook is, can smoke or swear or anything, and it do have influence on everything. So coming back to the fashion, it's like people which were doing even clothes, which is middle, not only mass markets like H&M, South, all of this, Stradivarius, New Yorker, but quite respective brands also were really using almost slave workers, which is probably crying over this clothes and sleeping on it, which was proved as well many times. So you really don't want these tears and blood on your clothes under an expensive brand.
No, it does again remind me of the situation, like the comparison between indeed all of these well-known brands that are putting out there, they're just putting their clothes out there, some of them for some insane prices. But then when you look at the cost that it actually took to make, a piece of skirt or a shirt, it's absolutely insane, like the difference between production and what they get. But compared to, for example, I am following an online page and they post garments of the traditional Romanian blouse. They have a huge collection and they present them. They're selling them, like they're selling a piece from time to time to the audience, and they're selling pieces that are 80 years old, 100 years old, and they are in perfect shape, in absolute perfect shape. And that's why I was mentioning the fact that, well, if you have this kind of clothing pieces that are sewn and mended and basically created by somebody, there is soul behind it usually. There is meaning, there is intention, there is creativity. There's this kind of indeed more positive vibe than what you found at Rana Plaza, which is a very famous sweatshop, I think, in Pakistan that collapsed. And that was a way, for example, that was one of the moments when some societies could have learned more about the fashion industry, how things are produced, and could have made some changes. But it's hard to get people out of their comfort zone. And I see that also with food, because for me personally, and not only for me, like Eastern Europeans, so from Bulgaria, from Ukraine, from Russia, like people that I met here in the Netherlands that are more from Eastern Europe, and especially from countries who have a tradition of producing their local foods and eating healthy. We come here and then we notice that indeed you can get, you know, whatever you want in a market.
It's weakening our body. It's weakening our mind because we don't have this weakening our body because of the chemicals they have to use to supply it all year old. It's weakening our strength, you know, this very necessary human quality when you know, like this Pascha, how to say in English, Eastern, time there, when I really respect the idea of it, when for 1 month and more you don't eat meat, and it's really like you have to prepare yourself to this special day, to let yourself to eat this kozonak and painted eggs. And now it's all kind of wiped off. We can eat kozonaks all year round, and everything is just here on the surface, and it's good and bad for the many reasons, because we have to really put borders in a good way on ourselves, because people just overeating. And if you look, like I came across to the picture of the beach, like 60 years ago, there was no fat bodies. Like if you really think about it, now if you go anywhere on the public space, you see it's a lot of people which really overweight, but now it doesn't look scary because it's so many of them, it's become normality. But people had less of everything. And I remember we were eating according to the season. In the winter, it was always this cabbage, varza murata, cabbage like, or cucumbers, or all this stuff, which is good for your microflora, microbiome. And food was simple. Food was according to the season. Nobody was trying to make money with it all year round, like mad, like now. So we have to really learn how to tight up ourselves for the good reason, for the good future. This is in everything. And this is problem with our kids, because like my kid now, we of course trying not to give him cartoons all day long, but sometimes he gets to them like few times a week, and he cannot watch the whole cartoon. I remember when we were kids, it was Disney cartoons every Friday at 6, and we were really waiting for it. But my boy now cannot even, when I sing him songs in the evening or give him stories in the evening, he telling me next. In 4 or 5 seconds, he telling me next. Alto. It's just very, very scary. It's like he used to change his YouTube baby channel. If he doesn't like something, he screech. I mean, it's not even if he doesn't like it. He just used to consume as much as he can in this time and always pressing switch, and it's leading to he will switch the partners because he doesn't like it. He will switch everything, and it's really big and serious stuff now that we switch our clothes. Like one blogger was writing, now clothes is so available, you can do photo session and you can just throw away this clothes or leave it in a hotel. No, never mind. And this is where we ending up. I think now it's time to really think, rethink, and pay attention to things, to the messages as well, where I really, when I had the baby, now he is got to this media, when I started to look at the cartoons, like, what is the message? Not like, oh, now my baby's watching cartoon, never mind. It's like this famous, you can have a look at the Borobota in Romania, and it's a song and cartoon. I was shocked. Like, my baby was watching it. I heard very nice rhythmic song. I was like, oh, something is nice. And then I turned my head. I was shocked. Like, oh, my God, is it really happening? Is my kid is really watching that? through all the cartoon, there was boy which is trying to put dog under the water, throwing the cat out of the balcony, pulling other people's hair out. And we had a discussion with my father-in-law. He was saying, no, in the end, they saying that it's bad. He should be good and he become good boy. But I said, don't you feel it doesn't matter anymore if for 3 minutes my boy is looking at all these activities, unnecessary activities? So we have to really look at the message behind. We have to look really carefully, like, do I need it? What is the message? How it's transforming? What is giving me? What is feeding me with?
Definitely. This brings me back to how you perceive beautology. And again, this holistic approach of not only looking in a certain way, but also being in a certain way. And I know that you have been working as well in Romania. And I'm wondering how you have perceived Romanians, so your Romanian clients, to understand this concept of beauty and maybe even beautology.
I think it's quite complicated for Romanian people. They're not quite prepared. And like my husband also was explaining, it's quite hard because either you're good at makeup and you're doing it completely, or you do this aroma testing, which is for many people really they don't understand it simply. But it's very interesting instrument because my second education is a psychology, and there's a lot of tests which involve color or questions or anything, but your choice of smells, aromas, it's a kind of subconscious choice. It's very important as well to make it subconscious, because some people, when they smell lavender from the bottle, they don't like it, for example. And then when they find out, oh, it's lavender, I like lavender, da, da, da. So it's all these perceptions. It's a lot of interesting stuff you can discover. And actually, why I was interested in this thing, because also before this, my spiritual way towards my husband started, I came across to the aroma testing. And I remember it was like a magic. I came to one event, and this event was like tombola, how to say, lottery. And one prize was free consulting at aroma testing. And I remember it was such a busy day, but I really wanted to get into this topic and I wanted to win this thing. So I thought, I'll come for half an hour. I just have to get it. I want to see how it works. I wanted to smell because this essential oil is quite investment. So I wanted to get to know what smell I like, because at that point I was already doing cosmetics. I used essential oils in my cosmetic, but I didn't try them all because this is hard. You can go and try fragrance on the shelf, but the essential oil is much harder. So like, I need it. I was so meditating, like, I need to get this ticket with the aroma test. So I did it.
And I think we are coming towards the end of the interview.
Mm-hmm. We can speak all night long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have touched on some subjects that really would need a podcast of their own, to be very honest.
And my husband is, I think he's hungry and I'm occupying the kitchen. He's staying very quietly.
You will start hearing his stomach and then things will get less quiet. But I do have like one last question for you. It's a bit different than what we have talked about until now, but I do think that your experience is valuable to maybe other people who are interested in discovering Romania or even considering it a home, because you made Romania your home and you feel it fully with all your soul, from what I have heard. What would you recommend to other internationals who are looking to make Romania their home? How can they make the best out of it from your experience?
I think if you came across the chance to make it your home, that's mean, I don't know, it's just amazing that Romania chose you to be home. Because sometimes when I remember when I was coming to my sister, years before all my this spiritual way started, I didn't see Brasov interesting place to move. I was rejecting it. It was just not opening for me. So I think just do it. Just, I also found out that it's a lot of foreigners were influencing Romania, which is interesting and good. So I think if you come, doesn't matter even where you come, you have to make your best to make this place better place to be. Just try to find your not only quiet time, but also look how can you, why you came here. It should be a reason. And how can you be good person here, do something nice, connect people. I think now everything is about connecting us together, sharing interest, getting into the strong groups with kindness, independence in some ways, independence from social media. This is actually this movie Out of Shadows talking about that we kind of out now, out of all this darkness. So let's keep it nice.
Definitely. That's some very good advice.
She about also some, if I can say something, you know, practical for the people who listening to us, because everything was so philosophical. Coming back to the food and natural remedies. Of course, you can Google up everything now to have a look, to double check it. But it's interesting for me to discover that superfoods are actually simple foods. You just have to use them regularly. So even simple thing like garlic is very powerful, especially if you cut it and leave it for 10 minutes. It's releasing special, very strong kind of natural antibiotic. And of course, pickled foods. It's a lot of fruit trees growing here in Romania. And I like the idea that the food which is good for you should be no more than one day of walking distance, if it makes sense. Like you can go somewhere and you walk for one day until the sun goes down, and this is the point where everything was good for you is growing. So we kind of now spoiled with all these avocados and stuff, but it's not quite stuff. Also, the thing which is very important, I discovered for myself, biodynamic farming, organic farming. I think it's really time to get to the farming question, because what's everything like people might believe or not in horoscopes? For me, I discovered a lot of stuff which describing me, my husband, my kid, my relatives, and people who is astrologers, they say tough times, unfortunately, not over yet. It might come again in, I don't know, in December, they say will be tough. In end of summer might be tough. So maybe it's a good time now while we're sitting like this, just to make sure you know how to grow your own food. And you don't have to have a garden even. My mom is a perfect example. She's actually writing book now. I was pushing at her to write it all down. She have experience in organic gardening. She was working in many shops, having garden for herself all her life. And she was, when she moved to the flat, she had a tiny, tiny balcony. But at the balcony, she was doing all year long. It was fruits, it was some vegetables, so she could do salad every lunch she was having. So little balcony is not an excuse, but the thing is that we have to learn what if. Like, what if we will have no support? Like, in old days, remember how we were living? People were having this old style, how to say, like, you bake your bread and your food. So we were independent. And we didn't need light, electricity. We were doing our own water. I remember these times when people were digging deep under the water, getting until the water. And so we were strong. If something, we were kind of okay. Now, if you imagine there will be no water, there will be no food in the shelves. No, I don't want to even imagine that. But I mean, this little test shows us, like, guys, everything can happen. So while we're sitting here nicely watching funny movie, maybe it's good to learn biodynamic farming or something, just like it won't hurt. So this is my advice as something practical a little bit for the end of the conversation.
And one thing that the lockdown situation taught us is to source our food more locally, or to look at a local level for our food. And actually we're going to have on Wonders a table on which people can go and check. It's going to be on the website, with local producers that they can get in contact with. And I know so far we have Bucharest, Brasov, Cluj, Satu Mare, I think Oradea a little bit. So we're gathering up resources to promote exactly those people that still use old ways of farming and sourcing their vegetables, and even their animals are raised in a certain way so that the meat products are more or healthier than what
you find
in supermarkets.
This is so good. This is one of my dreams, but it was so hard. Like, you cannot stop happy people. Like, I mean, happy people in the case, like, no, not happy people, but all this machine. We were so busy with something, and you cannot stop people. They feel comfort. They feel like there is no problem. And all these changes come with blood, like this Rana Plaza and everything. Like, we have to go through difficulties to face the things which we have to face. And actually, what do we need? We actually, I don't know if we really need something exported from abroad. And I remember I didn't really think about all this, you know, AliExpress shopping, which some of my friends, you know, they sit, they board, they buy a little bit of this, little new bag, little new earrings. And it makes me feel pain because I remember I was in Argentina in Buenos Aires once, and I've seen these big containers with all this little this and little that, little unnecessary stuff. Like, we are so self-sufficient. Every country can pretty much hold itself. And now it's the time.
Well, now is the time to rediscover that. That is for sure. And I think, especially for countries like Romania, it would be an amazing opportunity to, get back in touch with our roots, and for the internationals to discover the benefits of living more naturally and closer to your heart than just chasing after other things that are not necessarily that important.
There is a movie, actually, Secret Ingredient, which I also highly recommend for people to watch. Secret Ingredient, it's about the food, the things behind our food. So,
there's a lot of recommendations.
it's so much to discover. It's now time to discover. Later on, we will be again too busy.
That is very true. Elena, thank you so much for joining this show and the podcast episode.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to speak to the more people than just one or two friends or subscribers.
And I do wish for people to discover you and your business as well, because I think that you have a lot to offer.
Thank you so much. And I hope somebody will hear it. Somebody will feel that for some reason we should be connected. We could do something together. So feel welcome, everybody, to contact. Let's be friends. Let's connect. Let's see what it can lead to. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. That was the end of episode 11 of the Wonders podcast. I hope this episode makes you want to splurge on a rejuvenating face mask and some good relaxing massage after all this talk about organic, natural living. Maybe we can all profit from some downtime this weekend to think about beauty and other fascinating concepts. There still won't be a YouTube upload for this episode because of YouTube's latest content guidelines on COVID-19, but you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, where we regularly share new and fresh bits of Romanian beauty. Thanks for listening, and as they say, mulțumesc, eu la masă nu vorbesc. Bye-bye! Yeah.